Second Chronicles chapter number 28, verse number 21, for Ahaz took away. Everybody say took away. For Ahaz took away a portion out of the house of the Lord, and out of the house of the king and of the princes, and gave it unto the king of Assyria. But he helped him not. And in the time of his distress did he trespass yet more against the Lord. This is that King Ahaz. For he sacrificed unto the gods of Damascus, which smote him. And he said, because the gods of the kings of Syria helped them, therefore will I sacrifice to them, that they may help me. But they were the ruin of him and of all Israel. And Ahaz gathered together the vessels of the house of God and cut in pieces the vessels of the house of God and shut up the doors of the house of the Lord. And he made him altars in every corner of Jerusalem. And in every several city of Judah, he made high places to burn incense unto other gods and provoked to anger the Lord God of his fathers. Moving down in chapter number 29, I'm glad that the verses that I've just read to you, that's not the end of the story. Chapter number 29, verse number 1, it tells us Hezekiah began to reign when he was 25 years old. Verse number 2 said, and he did that which was right in the sight of the Lord, according to all that David his father had done. He, in the first year of his reign, in the first month, opened the doors of the house of the Lord and repaired them. And he brought in the priest. Everybody say he brought in. I want you to notice Ahaz took away. Hezekiah brought in. He brought in the priest and the Levites and gathered them together into the east street and said unto them, hear me, ye Levites, sanctify now yourselves and sanctify the house of the Lord God. And if you would, verse number 36. I'll move down chapter 29, verse 36. And Hezekiah rejoiced, and all the people, that God had prepared the people, for the thing was done suddenly. And I would like to preach, teach, however that it comes out today. This is my subject, the Hezekiah Revival. The Hezekiah Revival. God bless you. You may be seated in the name of the Lord. That's it. Give the Lord a hand clap of praise as you're seated today.
Amen. Praise God.
The book of Chronicles is very interesting. First and Second Chronicles, the writer is a unique author in Scripture. Scholars seem to believe that the writer of Chronicles wrote at the end of exile, and he wrote to inspire the people of God to rebuild the temple. He wrote to inspire them to repopulate Jerusalem and to open up the doors of the house of God that had been laying in rubble for so long. The writer of Chronicles was very, very careful with how he approached subjects. He was very careful to build the people's faith. Seems like the writer of 1st and 2nd Chronicles, he downplayed a lot of the negative. He didn't go back through a lot of the low points of the history of Israel, but he focused more on what God had done for Israel and how the hand of God had been upon the people of the Lord throughout generations. There were many negative things that he could have included in their history, but the writer of Chronicles did not. He did not belabor the negative at all. He would seem to always bring the story back to the positive. Would always bring the story back to faith and what God had done and what God was going to do. He always focus on the hand of God evident among his people and stress and emphasize the fact that God wanted to be involved in the lives of his people. That God wanted to be front and center. And can I tell you, in 2020, God still has the same desire. He wants to be involved in every service. He wants to be involved in our plans and our dreams. He wants to be involved, amen, in every step that we take. And yet there is a low point that the writer of Chronicles does not shy away from. He does not ignore it. He brings it out just as it is. He doesn't really downplay the story, and that is the story of Ahaz. And perhaps he doesn't include as much information about Ahaz as other writers do, but he does tell the story, and he does bring out the low that Ahaz brought the city of Jerusalem and the nation of Judah to. But the writer of Chronicles doesn't stay with the story of Ahaz very long. It's not very long till he turns around and begins to talking about the next king, Hezekiah. It's almost as if it is part of one thread, almost as if it is part of one narrative. There's Ahaz, and then there is Hezekiah. These two stories are linked together. They are joined together. Here are two individuals. Their personalities are nothing alike. Here, their attitudes are very dissimilar. Each of these men took very divergent paths, but their story joins together because Ahaz is the low point and Hezekiah is the high point. Their perspectives on God was very different. Ahaz's perspective was to remove the things of God. Hezekiah's perspective was, we want the blessing of God. We want the favor of God. Their perspective on the religion and the Jewish faith was very different. Ahaz was always trying to downplay it and remove it. And Ahaz wanted to know everything about God. Hezekiah wanted to know everything about God that he could, to learn everything that was in the book that he could, to apply it as best as he was able to. And I want to emphasize today, in this 21st century, there's an Ahaz way of doing things, and there's a Hezekiah way of doing things. Now, I don't know about you, but as for me and my house, I want to go where the blessings are. I want to go where the favor of God is. I want to do whatever it takes to bring the hand of God upon my life. You find that Ahaz ignored the godly precepts, and he ignored the statutes that had been laid down for generations. And Ahaz marched to the beat of his own drum. Every decision that Ahaz made, it was a disaster. Ahaz turned out to be one of the biggest losers in history. He lost every battle that he ever fought. You can find the record of all of the adversaries that came against Ahaz. He turned out to go from one defeat to another. But when it came to Hezekiah, Hezekiah resurrected an interest in what God had to say. Hezekiah made the temple a priority again. Hezekiah reinstated worship for God among the people of God in the temple. Hezekiah had a revival. Yes, he did. He had a revival. And I want to know about that revival. What Hezekiah says and his message is, no matter how low things get, No matter how awful things look, it's not over. No matter the low point that Judah was brought to, it's not over. You can either be an Ahaz or you can be a Hezekiah. It is your choice today. It depends on who you listen to. It depends on what path you want to take. It depends on who you choose to respond to. Man, there's an old story, perhaps you've heard it, it's been around a long time, about a farmer in Mississippi. And the farmer was struggling. His farm didn't seem to be doing very well. And so he went to a local sawmill owner and said, I'd like to ask you for a job. And the businessman, he knew that this man was a farmer. He was acquainted with him. He said, well, I know you've got plenty of land, and I know you've got a good piece of property. Why are you asking me for a job? You're a farmer. He said, well, it's just not working. The land is not producing. It's not what I thought it would be. And I put my time in and I have invested into it. But I just probably need to do something different. And so the sawmill operator, he was a very successful businessman. He said, well, I'll tell you what, not yet. I want you to do something for me. He said, do you ever hear the whistle of my sawmill? He said, oh, yeah. He said, you understand that at a certain time every day, the sawmill whistle goes off. He said, oh, yes. He said, let me give you an idea. Let me just run something by you here. He said, my sawmill whistle goes off at 8 o'clock, and I expect my workers to be on the job when the whistle goes off. It doesn't sound until noon when it's lunchtime, and I don't expect them to quit working until it's time to go eat. And then the sawmill whistle, it sounds again at 1 o'clock when lunch is over, and I expect my workers to be back on the job at the 1 o'clock whistle. He said, It doesn't sound again until 5 o'clock when it's time for the employees to go home. He said, you have that? That's when the sawmill whistle goes off. And that tells the workers when to be on the job. And it tells them when it's time they can leave the job. He said, now, I want you to do something for me. I want you to go back to your land and go back to your farm. And I want you to work your farm by the sawmill whistle. When it's 8 o'clock and you hear the whistle, I want you to be in the field working. And you stay in the field until the whistle goes off at noon. And then even if you want to nap and even if you want to take it easy and if you're tired, you be back out there in the field at the end of lunch when the 1 o'clock whistle goes off. And you stay out there and you work until all the other employees leave at 5 o'clock. And so the farmer left, and the farmer went back. And about a year later, the sawmill operator ran across the farmer. And he said, hey, he said, you want the job? I've got an opening. He said, oh, no, I'm not coming to work at the sawmill. He said, well, last time I saw you, you were discouraged and you were down. He said, oh, no. He said, I found out there wasn't nothing wrong with the soil. There wasn't nothing wrong with the farm. I just found out how to work it by the sawmill whistle. He said, my farm's doing better than it has ever done before because I worked it by the sawmill whistle. Brothers and sisters, we've got the sawmill whistle. Don't tell me you can't have revival. Don't tell me your church can't be blessed. Don't tell me God can't use you in your ministry. Don't tell me that you can't have a move of God where you are. We got it. We got it. Operate your ministry by the sawmill whistle. Operate your life by the word of God. God's got a way. He's already told us how he would bless. His people. Amen. Amen. God has provided everything that we need today. Everything that we need. And if I will run my life by God's instructions, if I will run my home and my family by God's instructions, if I will run my ministry by God's instructions, then it will be what it's supposed to be. Amen. One of the saddest statements in Scripture, one of the saddest statements, 2 Chronicles chapter number 28 and verse number 19. The Lord brought Judah low because of Ahaz, king of Israel. One of the lowest points in Israel's history. But God was already aware of the low points. Can I tell you today, God has never been caught off guard by low points. God is never taken by surprise. Oh, the year 2020, we started it out. We put up all kinds of scriptures, and around the building we've got slogans and Bible verses. Without a vision, the people perish. 2020 is the year of vision. We never saw it coming. Write the vision and make it plain. Oh yeah, 2020 is the year of vision. And I saw the Lord high and lifted up because 2020 is the year of vision. January 2020, we had never heard of COVID-19. We had never heard of Corona. Well, some folks had, but We had never heard of a stay-at-home order or a shelter-in-place or social distancing. We never saw it coming. But God has never been taken by surprise. God is not needing therapy today. God is not looking for a psychiatrist today. God is not on medication today. God is not wringing his hands or pacing the floor today. God is not looking for answers, and God is not frustrated or confused today. God is never taken by surprise. Let me tell you, the church is going to be all right. The church is going to be blessed. The church is going to have revival. The church is going to have a move of God. The church is going to see the hand of God, because God is never taken by surprise and is never blindsided. Amen. How Saul turned out, it was a shock to Samuel. And Samuel sat around and he was grieving and he was worried. And finally God had to tap him on the shoulder and say, Samuel, how long will you mourn for Saul? Hey, put it in the past, Samuel. Go to the house of Jesse. I've got my eye on somebody over there in the house of Jesse down there in Bethlehem. And I have already chosen a king among his sons. I've already got my mind on a David. I've already got my attention on David. You can cry about Saul all you want to. You can cry about yesterday all you want to. God's already got his mind on David. Jeroboam comes into the kingdom, and Jeroboam sets up golden calves in Dan and Bethel, and Jeroboam goes into idolatry, and Jeroboam is a divider, and he's not a uniter, and Jeroboam causes problems and backsliding everywhere that he goes. And you would think that the whole plan of God had been brought to a screeching halt, but not so. God sent a messenger to Jeroboam, and the messenger could have said, well, it's over. Well, you have really messed things up. We didn't even know, Jeroboam, that you were going to bring things down so low. No, that's not what the messenger said. The messenger showed up while Jeroboam was burning incense before a golden calf.
And the messenger didn't talk about the past, didn't talk about how terrible the present was, Sister Wendell. The messenger, the prophet, started talking about what God was going to do. The prophet started talking about the future, started talking about tomorrow. He said, oh, altar, there is a king that's coming, and he's even going to be a child, Josiah by name. But altar, he's going to bring you down. Altar, he's going to burn the bones of the false prophets. Altar, he's going to break it in pieces. God was already planning the next revival. Jeroboam, while you're worshiping your golden calves, God's got his mind on how he's going to move. God's got his mind on a glorious future. God's got his mind on planning what he's going to do to bring the people of God back. Hallelujah. Elijah, I want you to go show yourself to Ahab. I want you to go talk to Ahab. And I want you to tell him, even though there's been drought for 3 years, even though there's been a sore famine for 3 years, even though there's starvation everywhere, I want you to go tell Ahab, I will send rain upon the earth. God was thinking about the next downpour. God was thinking about the next outpouring. Let me emphasize to you again today, and I'm just kind of reiterating what Brother Shoemake preached last night. God is not at his wit's end. God is not wondering, what in the world am I going to do? That's what we do. But God's already planning what he's got in store. God's always talking about the future. God's always talking about tomorrow. He said, eye hath not seen, and ear hath not heard, and it has not entered into the hearts of men what God has prepared for them that love him. You may be looking at an Ahab situation, but God's got a Hezekiah on the way. Oh, thank God. Thank God. Thank God. Children of Israel in exile 70 years in Babylon. Is God upset and worried? Is God wondering what in the world he's going to do? God's mind is already on Cyrus. He's already spoken about Cyrus to Isaiah. Already talked about the man that was going to rebuild the temple and rebuild the city. Oh, let me tell you today, it is not over. You don't need to be overwhelmed by the present. We can get stuck in the past, but not God. We can get overwhelmed by what's happening right now, but not God. God's always got his eye on what is to come. Ahaz, one of the lowest points in Israel. Bible said that Ahaz took away the vessels that were in the house of God. He took away the vessels. Ahaz thought they were just gifts of silver and gold to give to other nations who would prove to be allies. But what he didn't realize was there was a God that was connected to those vessels of silver and gold. Ahaz took away the brazen altar that was there at the house of God, moved it around back and pulled out an altar that he had fashioned after the fashion of an altar he had found at Damascus. And then he offered sacrifice on the substitute altar, but he took away God's altar. What he didn't realize, Ahaz, God is connected to that altar. You didn't just take away a piece of furniture in the house of God. You're taking God out of Jerusalem. You're taking God out of the temple. You're taking God out when you remove those vessels. He took the the brazen sea that was there at the entrance, and he cut the foundations out from underneath it, and he lowered it down to the pavement. No big deal. We'll just bring it right down. We'll just bring it right down, and we'll lower it down. But what you don't understand, Ahaz, is God is connected to that laver, and God is connected to that altar. You don't want to take out the things that God is connected to. Let me tell you, brothers and sisters, it's not time to take out apostolic doctrine. It's not time to take out standards of holiness and separation from the world. It's not time to take out the altar. It's not time to take out tongue talking. It's not time to take out aisle running. It's not time to take out the gifts of the Spirit. It's not time to take out Acts 2:38. It's not time to quit preaching repentance and baptism in Jesus' name and the infilling of the Holy Ghost. No, it's not time. Ahaz, everything you take away, God is connected to it. Everything that you remove, what you think it's just silver and gold, but you're taking God out. What you think it's just an altar, but you're taking God out. What you think it's just a place for the priest to wash in the water at the entrance of the temple, but you're taking God out. But here comes Hezekiah. He is not an Ahaz. Hezekiah comes in and said, what Ahaz took away, I'm going to bring in. Let's go get the priest. Let's go get the Levites. It's time to have church. Let's go get the altar. What Ahaz removed, we want back in the church. What are you doing, Hezekiah? I want to bring God in. I want the presence of God in. I want the favor of God in the house again. Amen. The Bible said that Hezekiah did that which was right according to his father David. Here comes Hezekiah, says, we're going to bring in the priest. Well, what's the big deal about these priests? What's the big deal about these Levites? Well, this is in the Word of God. This is what it takes to be a priest. These are the ones that God has ordained. These are the ones that God has stipulated, and they're going to lead us in worship. Well, what are you getting the sons of Levi for, Hezekiah? Because I want to bring God in, and I want to do it like God said to do it. Well, what are you having them mix the incense together for? This is what God told us he wanted in the temple, and this is what we're going to do and offer up as a sweet smelling savor to the Lord. Well, what are you pouring the anointing oil in those vessels, in those candlesticks? This is because God ordained the lampstand. This is how God wants us to have church. This is what God blesses, and we want to bring God in. So if you want God, you got to have the altar. If you want God, you got to have the incense. If you want a God, you got to have the Levites. If you want God, you got to have the oil flowing in the lampstand. If you want God, you got to open up the doors of the temple again. And Hezekiah brought in the things that Ahaz had taken away. Oh, I thank God for technology. I thank God for Zoom and live streaming and all of that. And we've had to adjust. But oh, let me tell you, we still need to have church the way that God has stipulated. Oh, praise God. Amen, amen, amen. Let me tell you, we want to have church the way that God wants us to have church. Woo! You know, I was reading a book recently. The name of the book is called Loon Shots, and the book is about medical breakthroughs and business breakthroughs and breakthroughs in physics that ultimately proved to be true and proved to be powerful developments. And yet there was so much opposition early on. And those that were given to popular opinion, it was just so much opposition and experts many times were downplaying these breakthroughs. And so the writer began to explain how popular opinion sometimes works. And he began to talk about a survey that was made about what is the perfect temperature for tea, for drinking tea. What is the perfect temperature? And they did this great survey. And the survey came back, and they took all the responses, and they averaged out the responses. And the average response was room temperature tea. By popular opinion, that seemed to be the perfect temperature. But how many of you go to a restaurant and order room temperature tea? How many order iced tea? How many order hot tea? I think I missed some folks. Let me go back and explain it real clearly. How many order room temperature tea? Very few. Brother, we're going to pray for you. You come to the altar, right, be the first one, altar call. Out of all of this crowd, only one. Everybody else either wants it hot or cold. Just about nobody, brother, wants room temperature tea. And I want to tell you, just about nobody wants room temperature church. Just about nobody wants room temperature services. Nobody wants room temperature preaching. Nobody wants room temperature worship. Not only God wants room temperature church. He said you make it either hot or you make it cold. But if it's lukewarm, I'll spew it out of my mouth. Come on, folks. You know why we shout and dance? Because God loves it. You know why we cry in the altar? Because God loves it. You know why we talk in tongues? Because God loves it. You know why we shake and cry and leap and jump? God loves that kind of church. Come on, let's have a Hezekiah revival. It ain't time to be stiff and starchy. It ain't time to be distinguished. It ain't time to be dignified. It's time to have red hot Holy Ghost apostolic church. Amen. I want a Hezekiah revival. Amen. So many times, you can be seated. So many times we try so hard to come up with new revelations, and we want to come up with brilliant concepts, and I love it as much as anybody does. And we want to find the key and what is the concepts that will bring earth-shattering results. And sometimes as a preacher, we feel compelled to come at it from an angle that nobody's ever heard before, nobody's ever seen before, and we feel the pressure to be bringing something novel and exciting. But can I tell you today what we have? It works. Praying in the Holy Ghost, it works. Witnessing and telling people about Jesus' name, baptism and Holy Ghost infilling, it works. Praying every day, every day, every day, every day, it works. Pre-service prayer, it works. Intercessory prayer, it works. Hezekiah said, I want in what God blesses. Bring the priest in. Bring the Levites in. Bring the sacrifice in. Bring the offerings in. Bring the singers in. The Bible said that they opened up the doors, and the Levites, they got their psalteries and they got their harps, and they got trumpets, and they got all the instruments, and they started singing, and something started happening in Jerusalem. Said to Hezekiah, what are all of these singers for? This is how God likes us to have church. Hezekiah, what's the trumpets for? What are these songs about? Said, this is what God loves. They went back and got the Psalms of Asaph. They went back and got the Psalms of David. And they broke out the old Psalms that, and I'm not against new songs. Please don't think that. But there was just something about worship and praise. There was just something about, amen, the Word of God. They went back to the Psalms and started singing. And the Bible said they sacrificed a little more, and then they sang a little more, and then next the Bible said they sang with gladness. You get to church, you don't always feel like praising. You don't always feel like being involved. You don't always feel like responding. But I'm going to tell you, when you come in and you just join in an apostolic church service, it doesn't take very long. You start feeling something different. You start feeling Holy Ghost power. You start feeling something that draws you. I watched last night and even this morning, as praise started going on, people started getting out in the aisles. Nobody told them to. Nobody said, come on. Amen. There's just something about it. You were singing one moment, but the next moment singing with gladness. I lost my depression. I lost the darkness. I lost those old feelings that I walked in with. Woo, hallelujah. Hezekiah said, let's have the Passover. They started gathering in for the Passover. And it went from singing to singing with gladness. And before very long in Hezekiah's day, the Bible said there was great joy in Jerusalem. Ahaz is long forgotten. Ahaz is in his grave. The days of Ahaz have lost their influence. It took 16 days, and Hezekiah's got the doors open and having church like God wanted to have church. And the people are rejoicing, and they're talking about what God is doing and that God did it suddenly. Oh, let me tell you, they were the ones cleaned out the temple. They were the ones repaired the door. They were the ones that brought the sacrifice. They were the ones that got the priest and gathered them in. They were the ones that that mixed up the incense. And they were the ones that brought the oxen and the bulls and the goats. But they, when it got done, they said, God did a sudden work. They were talking about what God had done. They had sacrificed. They had given. They had worked hard. But at the end of the day, in a Hezekiah revival, at the end of it, they were talking about what God had done. If you just bring in what God says bring in, you'll have what God said you could have. I looked up a few months ago, there was a distinguished gentleman sitting on the back, and some of my folks came up to me after service, and they said, do you know who that is? Do you know who? You know who? You understand who that is? And I said, no, I don't think I do. They said, that is the pastor of a large and well-known denominational church locally. And what he was doing here, we have no idea. I looked up the next Sunday, and a few minutes late, he came in the side door, sat in the back, left a little early. And they came back, they said, do you realize who that is? We have, back in the day, he performed weddings in our family, and He, you don't understand. And finally, I got to talk to the gentleman. And he said, I have been a preacher in a such and such denomination for over 50 years. But my denomination has never taught me about the Holy Ghost. I'm here because I want to learn about the Holy Ghost. And I found out he would get through on Sunday morning teaching his class, run out the side door, get in his vehicle, and drive over to our church where church was already going on, and slip in the back, and then leave at altar service. And he did it for several weeks, and he started staying. And before long, he started coming up to the front. Then I looked back there, he brought his wife. Then he started showing up before church. Pastor, I've resigned my class. I'm making this my church, paying my tithes here. And he called me a few days ago, and in COVID-19, he said, "Pastor, I'm so hungry. Oh, I'm so hungry to be in God's house. I'm so hungry for the things of God." He said, "What the apostolic church has, please don't lose it. What you have, it's causing young folks." He said, "Our churches, the young people are dying. They're leaving. They don't want to stay. We have nothing for them." He said, "But I look around and you got young folks. They're bringing their little children to church and they're happy to be there. You got young teenagers gather around the front and they dance and they've got joy. Whatever it is, don't you let the devil come in and turn you to something different. You better keep what you've got. You keep preaching what you're preaching. You got something special." I'm so glad I just kept on preaching Acts 2:38 when I had friends that quit. I'm so glad we kept preaching holiness when I had others, amen, that wanted to go to somewhere different. You can be seated. He said, "Pastor, since I've been at the Apostolic Church," he said, "I've got brand new eyes. I'm like a kid in a candy store when I read my Bible. Because the way I was taught, we just skipped over things and we just kind of danced around things or we explained things away." He said, "But I got to reading my Bible." He said, "I'm in my second childhood. I started underlining everywhere it says Holy Ghost, Spirit, Spirit of God, Spirit of Christ, Spirit of the Lord, Holy Spirit, Spirit of Jesus Christ." He said, "Holy Ghost is all in there. It's on every page. It's in every author. Everywhere you turn, it's Holy Ghost, Holy Ghost, Holy Ghost, Holy Ghost, Holy Ghost, Holy Ghost, Holy Ghost. I found something I've been missing out on all of my life." Hallelujah. Because we want to bring in. We want to bring in what brings God in. You know why we're preaching Acts 2:38? Because God's connected to apostolic doctrine. You know why we preach Jesus' name baptism? Because God's connected to that. "Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved." Hallelujah. Stand with me today. Hezekiah brought in worship. He brought in sacrifice. He also brought in joy. Thank you, Lord. Brother O.C. Marler tells a story, a pastor that he knew, and I talked to him a few days ago and got the details of this story again. Tells a story about a pastor brought a group to youth camp. And back in those days, it would take hours sometimes to register. There were no computers. There was no modern technology to expedite the process. And said the youth group, within it, there was a young blind boy. And the young man, he was very sharp. He was very sharp. His other senses made up for the fact that he couldn't see. And you could lead him around and take him to certain places, and all you had to do was show him once, and he knew his way around from then on. The pastor had somebody keep his place in line, and he took the blind boy aside, and he called his name. He said, "Son, I want you to be able to find your way around here at the youth camp, and so we've got a couple of hours before we register, and so come with me, and I'm going to take you around, and I'm going to show you where the concession stand is. If you want to get a snack or get a drink, it's important this week you know how to find your way to the concession stand." Said, then after that, I'm going to take you to the cafeteria. You want to know where to go every day to eat. And then after that, I'll take you out to the ball field. That's where everybody gathers. All the kids gather out at the ball field and they congregate and fellowship. That's the popular spot. You want to know where the ball field is. The little blind boy stopped the pastor. He said, "Pastor, I know you have things to do. I know you got places to go. Don't worry with me. I don't want to be a bother to you. But I just got one favor to ask you. This week, I've dedicated it to God. This week, I've just made up my mind. This week is for the Lord. And I have promised him that I'm going to use this week to get what I need. And then I'm going to help other people get what they need. So, Pastor, don't worry about the ball field, the concession stand, the cafeteria. All I ask you to do is take me to the altar." That's all I want to know, is where is the altar? Because if I can find the altar, I can find my way to everything else. If I'm spending time at the altar, I'll be able to find everything else. Are there any folks that want a Hezekiah revival? If you can find the altar, everything else will fit. Everything else will work. Everything, if you seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, all the things that you need will be added to your life. You say, "I've been living in an Ahaz situation." Well, it ain't over. There's a Hezekiah on the way. It's been an Ahaz season in my life. Let me tell you, it ain't over. There's a Hezekiah on the way. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Oh, praise God, praise God. Thank you, Lord. I'm not sure how to end this today, but I feel the Spirit of the Lord in this house. I said, I feel the Spirit of the Lord in this house. I wonder if there's some folks that would gather around here this morning, and I wonder if you'd lift up your hands and say, "God, I want a Hezekiah revival. Lord, we want to bring in your presence. Lord, we want to bring in your touch. God, we want to bring in your favor. God, we want your hand upon us like never before, like never before, like never before, like never before." Oh, hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Yes, Lord, yes, Lord, yes, Lord, yes, Lord, yes, Lord, yes, Lord. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Yeah. Hallelujah. Your church can have revival. Oh, on, let's believe God today.